So, you know, escalation is a funny thing. So Paranormal Rod came on the show and he wanted to review Apocalypse Zero. So I responded by donating him Hammerman, which is an absolutely horrible show that he had to review.
So it's
And then,
your fault he raged. Okay.
of course, he had to request like 30 anime all at once. And when I was showing the list to Burke, Burke said, "How about Hellgirl?" I said, "Okay, I know nothing about that. That sounds interesting." And so here we are. I'm gonna have to donate something like.
Hey, Bobcat, I just got back from shopping and I got your tampons and wait a minute. What are you doing? Who is this?
Burke, I'm leaving you.
No, you're not. Oh no, I see what's going on here. You're trying to replace me, aren't you?
Why would I do that? I think you're doing a
Who
fabulous
are
job.
you?
All right. So, introduce yourself, please, and plug yourself, tell the people what you do, etc.
Okay.
No one cares.
No, that's just you.
I'm everyone.
No, you're not.
I'm as loud as everyone.
Oh, in your head probably. My name's Stephanie. I am from Lilac Anime Reviews. It's my own little review anime blog thing, and I also run a weekly stream that I do on Friday nights called the Thriller Zone, where we do ironically enough, horror, thriller, suspense, mystery type of shows. It doesn't have to be anime, it's movies, TV shows, anything really.
Making it instantly superior to this, except every time we ever look at anything that is an anime, it is always ungodly terrible.
I'm not gonna lie, the first night I did the Thriller Zone, I showed Hellgirl. Not gonna lie.
What's a hell girl?
Well, that's funny you should ask. That's actually the show we're reviewing this week.
Yay!
You're reviewing something?
Why else would we be here?
I don't know! No one tells me anything!
Well,
I just walk in with his feminine hygiene products, God knows why he needs those, and just recordings! Wait, why is my computer recording? The hell?
Well, wait,
Okay,
if your computer's recording, how did you get in the tampon?
I don't know!
Speaking of unresolved questions about reality, which is actually a horrible segue, but I'm still going to stick with it. Well, welcome to the 5 Point Podcast. I'm Bobcat, and the fellow sputtering about feminine hygiene products is Burke.
Nah.
And every week we look at the first three, or in this case four, episodes of an anime, often at the request of our viewers, and give them a quick little first impressions type review.
First four this time around because four is the number of death.
Yeah, Rob specifically wanted us to look at episode four because, quote, "that one with the vet is really messed up."
It kind of is, yeah.
So, like I said before, Rob, sh like I was trying to say before Burke shouted me down, I wonder if they've made a animated series based on the room that I could inflict on Rob.
I might have something to hook you up with.
That's a
Cool.
scary thought.
So, speaking of point one,
But no,
actually,
we
no.
no. What? No. That does, no. No. No, 5 point podcast. We have 5 points. First impressions, story, characters, animation, story, other things that aren't story, blah. Yeah, I tried to hold a
Okay.
thought for too long and it didn't.
All right.
Final
Well,
thoughts!
people can just catch up as we go. So first thoughts, or excuse me, first impressions. So Stephanie, you're the guest. You can go first.
Ladies first, I see. Okay,
Well, typically they go last, but
Only in your mind. Let's see.
no, I meant guests.
Oh, that
No,
works too.
Burke, you always insist on going last, but
Yes, that's because I'm always a guest.
that explains why you never clean up around here.
Okay.
Anyway, Stephanie,
Moving on.
what were your thoughts going into this show before you watched it?
Well, I do have, I guess, like you can call it a history with this show. Because originally I saw, what was it? I think I saw season two in my college's anime club my freshman year. And I don't remember any of it to this day. It's funny because I watched the episodes today and I didn't remember anything about it. And then, let's see, and then I streamed it on Throw Zone, like I said. And, originally when I first saw it, or when I was about to watch it, I'm a big horror, thriller, suspense person, so things like Paranoia Agent, what else? Monster, those are up my alley. I thought it was actually an interesting, kind of take on things, really, because I've never really seen, how should I put this? Never really seen some sort of vengeance kind of thing other than, Chevalier Dion, but that's a whole other box of, wax and, or noodles or something, but, yeah, I really was looking forward to this, to be honest, because horror is my thing, really.
Okay. I honestly went into this knowing absolutely nothing. I actually kind of like to go into things knowing absolutely nothing occasionally. I knew enough to Google it, to look up the, like where I could find episodes on YouTube or whatnot.
That you didn't share with me!
Yes, I did, actually, on Tuesday night. Not too late. Well, it was because of computer explosions, which is why there was no podcast last week, and why the podcast we recorded last week will be coming up next week. But that's a story for another day. So I kind of went into this blind, with nothing except possibly... I don't know, for some reason, Hellgirl did not really prepare me for what happened. I would have expected anything from a harem-type show about a guy who gets on with demons, or... Really, I was expecting anything except for what actually happened. Which I guess is good because it meant it wasn't completely predictable.
How is a harem show good? I'm curious. No, I know, you just mentioned it. I'm like, that's the first thought you came up with.
Well, because in my experience when, like... That's just the first place that's just the first thing I thought of because
he grew up on Tenchi and Ranma.
Yeah, and also I forget where like when Rob gave me his like 30 requests, I forget where this was, but I remember it was somewhere in the this is sort of messed up category, I believe, or this is the ones I sort of liked. And when I think of stuff I sort of liked and stuff that's messed up, like things are kind of average level quality and messed up, harem anime comes to mind for some reason. I don't expect a lot from them.
I guess that makes sense if you put it that way.
RoboCop sequels come to mind for me.
Speaking of what comes to mind to you, for you, Burke, what did you think coming into it?
That I like RoboCop.
Okay, so let's move on to point two, story.
I like horror movies. I like superheroes. I like bloody, violent shows that are very, very, very violent.
You like a lot of things.
Well, for Harold Girl, 1 out of 4 ain't bad for you, then.
Actually, it was very underwhelming in that regard.
Yeah, so...
Speaking of underwhelming...
Point two, story. Now, and Burke will get this reference, so I know that Stephanie won't, but... I remember... Well, so, like, okay, I know for a fact you'll get this reference. So someone on the forum said, if you've seen one episode of Hellgirl, you've seen them all. And I kind of have to agree with that, because it kind of reminded me of Phineas and Ferb, only with hell and revenge. Like, you replace, hey, where's Perry, with, you're going to hell. Or whatever the actual line was, I forget.
Aren't you a little bit too young to be taking souls to hell for revenge?
Why, yes I am.
That's pretty much what we're working with here. They even have an odd amount of continuity in the 4th episode. Well, I'm not sure if anyone else noticed it, but... 3rd episode was primarily about a baseball player who's a giant douche.
Well, let's step back a second. So, like we said, every episode is pretty much the same. Basically, somebody has some sort of problem in their life where somebody is horribly bullying them, or... in one case, has framed them for murder.
There are terrible people in the world. The victims get to go to a website that magically makes their problems go away through hellish portals and deals, but they themselves are going to go to hell when they die.
Right, the person that they want revenge on goes to hell immediately, but and when the person who makes the contract dies, they also go to hell.
Yes.
But not until they die.
Yeah.
They're alive until they die, and then they go to hell.
Which, as far as we're aware of, they can live a normal lifespan. The contract has no problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
Heck, from what I can tell, that their lives are better after they sell their souls.
Some of them, yes. Which is probably just to build up the tragedy and drama of, you know, gonna die, going to hell.
Yeah. I think the end of episode 4 kind of cements that a little bit.
Yeah, considering it's a 12-year-old girl or whatever.
12-year-old girl whose parents are dead.
Whose dog is dead.
Whose dog is dead. I think it kind of cements that a little bit, because she actually literally talks about, keep an eye on me, but don't wait for me. Literally, yeah. That's one of the things that she says at the end of the episode.
Yeah, we should explain that. We won't go too super detailed into these episodes, because it's extremely episodic.
Yeah.
Each episode, from what it appears to be anyways, is its own little adventure all wrapped up in a nice little bow, which is nice for a weekly series.
Mm-hmm.
But makes it hard to marathon to review it.
Oh,
but...
God, yeah. It's not even a marathon at all.
Although, this will bring up interesting points for point number 4, but...
At least you guys only had to marathon 4 episodes.
Yay!
Yes, Burke accidentally watched the wrong episode, or the wrong series.
I don't even know what it was.
It's whatever is currently on Crunchyroll. Anyway, you know what? Rob specifically wanted to talk about episode 4, so how about, rather than going into less detail about the first 3 episodes...
I'll sum up the first 3! I'll sum it up!
Burke called it! He called it!
Fine. You have 1 minute. Go.
Okay, so there are sociopathic rich girls who want to be richer and are just sociopathic for no good reason, possibly because they're jealous. Then there are pedophilic detectives who are also trying to blame other detectives for being pedophiles, but they're also stalkers. And then they murder people, and they want to murder more people, but they can't murder more people because there are skeletons. And then there are sociopathic, murderous, egotistical baseball players who like to beat people to death with baseball bats and then murder other people by blaming them. Vis-a-vis proxy.
All right, so that was about 35 seconds. Very good.
World record!
Yay.
And it vaguely made sense.
Yeah.
So remember, that these are all with that setup we were talking about. Person has problem. Person finds out about revenge website. Person goes to revenge website. Person sells their soul. Then we have between 5 and 10 minutes of the person who was causing the problems in the first place getting their just desserts.
Well, you also forget that kind of in between those bits there's the person who's selling their soul kind of contemplating whether to actually sell their soul or not.
Yeah, then things just start getting worse and worse.
Yeah.
And then the episode ends with the person's life being better, but them being melancholy about, oh yeah, I get to go to hell when I die no matter what I do.
Except for episode 4.
I guess that means I get to set it up.
Lilac, wanna go into episode 4?
Oh boy, the reason why Rob wanted to do this one. Let's see. Short form probably would be. There's this vet who doesn't really treat this girl's dog. He instead just decides I'm gonna stay on the phone and talk about golf with someone. So the girl's dog dies. She finds out from the vet's assistant that he didn't treat the dog. Then she does the whole hell correspondence, and things happen, and he's dead. He died.
Yeah, and then the little girl at the end is like, well, I guess justice has been done. Now I don't get to see my parents or dog again.
Yeah.
I guess I get to go be an orphan who gets to die and go to hell someday.
By the way, the parents are dead before this episode.
Yeah, it's really kind of... I understand why they did it, because, you know... If she still had her family, damning your soul for eternity over a dog would seem like a weird choice.
Yeah.
but with nothing in her life except for that dog, it makes a bit more sense.
Yeah. Also, one neat little thing in episode 4 that I can only really cover here because it really only applies here. For the most part, this series it's not continuity heavy, but this one had a nice little Easter egg of sorts. I'm not sure if it's a product of the dub or if it was actually part of the original version, but they do a callback in the final few moments towards episode 3, where they actually refer to the baseball player in the baseball game, while totally ignoring the doctor, vet, jerkbag who has a broken leg at the time.
Oh,
see,
yeah.
I had not.
Yep, I got that.
I didn't get that that was supposed to be the same baseball team. Okay.
Well, I don't know if that's actually the connection, but it makes sense. It does do a little bit of a callback to the previous episode.
I just assume it was. Also, if this is the same high school every single time, then holy dear God.
They are horrible.
The entire population of the high school is going to hell.
Wait.
It can't be because there are different uniforms and ages every time.
It's not the same high school. That'd be really, really freaky if it was. But there's always...
Well, it would explain why there was always a group of teenage girls gossiping about the Hell Correspondence website.
It happens to be... It's like plot convenience, walking by and mentioning the Hell Correspondence. It's like, what?
Man, can you imagine how different their lives would have been if they walked by saying, hey, there's this guy who dresses up like a grasshopper and he kicks robots until they die.
Just saying some most random thing and then they're like, what? I wonder if I can get that grasshopper to kick this person for me.
Right on, kick!
Clearly I must become the grasshopper. Now to find a new organization.
Hey, did you hear that there's this teenager who turns into a chick when he gets wet? It could have been any random supernatural rumor.
I have a theory that random band of teenage girls who are always mentioning Hell Girl, there's usually just three of them. I bet you anything, those are her three minions. They just shapeshifted.
That thought had occurred to me too. I would be so awesome if that turned out to be the case, actually.
Yeah, but usually that's a bit of a stretch because when they're taking on human form, they're still the same. Their clothes just change.
Remember,
the old guy turned into the principal that one time.
Oh, that's right. Never mind. Yep. Forgot about that.
So, there you go.
Okay, that's my canon. It makes it a lot less contrived.
Improving episodes with minimum effort. The only thing I can not really do. Anyways! So.
That's the story.
That's the story.
Moving on!
Point 3. Characters.
Okay,
so.
That's gonna be
with the fact
subject.
That, since the show is so episodic, I vote we just leave out anyone who doesn't appear more than once.
So that means we have.
Four?
Five?
We have
five.
Four?
Five.
Yeah, we have the grandma, too.
Yeah.
Don't we?
I'll cover her right quick. She's a grandmother. She lives in Limbo Land. She has an internet connection. She really wants to make sure that the one girl doesn't get wet or is dry.
Yeah.
You never see her face. It's always shadows.
Yep.
She has a voice.
Yep.
That's her character.
Okay, so...
She says the same exact thing every episode, every time.
Yes, it's
so
episode
does.
2.
So does. Now, see, I didn't even catch her name ever. What did you say it was?
Her name is Enma I.
Enma I.
Yep. She never says her first name, but...
Okay, let's just call her I, then.
Hell Girl is her name.
Yes.
Yep.
So... She's a magical girl.
Yep.
Basically.
Burke, explain your theory.
Okay. Basically, this show is a magical girl series crossed with Japanese horror based off of morality plays. That's the entire series.
And the message every single time is, bullying is bad, okay? Shouldn't bully, because then you're bad.
Also being a pedophilic stalker who manipulates the police system is also bad.
Then there's being
that's a form of bullying.
And then there's don't be a selfish crap douchebag. And then there's don't take people's pets for granted.
Oh, and then there's the ever, ever lovely Don't beat people to death with a baseball bat. Dear God! What is wrong with you?
You know, I would love to see a PSA where they treat that the same way they usually treat drug addiction and stuff.
Oh my God!
Like, don't do beating people to death with a baseball bat. Sure, all the cool kids are doing it.
Kids,
but you should say no.
Kids, say no to baseball bats.
Brought to you by FIFA.
No, brought to you by PETA, considering you have puppy murdering. There we go. Perfect.
But yeah, it's a magical girl show, because there's reused footage, reused lines, and she just uses magic to swoop in and defeat the enemy. Because at this time, the enemy is human sin and douchebaggery, rather than being a monster made out of a lamp.
It's interesting that Berg mentioned this, because I didn't really notice it until when he said it, and I was like, holy crap. Like, light bulb goes off, I was like, holy crap, it is.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God.
It's rather seamless the way it works it in, but the interesting thing about Hellgirl is, honestly, I think 99% of her lines are just from the first episode.
And it's the same...
She gets a few lines, maybe.
In episode two.
Yeah.
You get the impression that she doesn't like doing what she does, which is make people give up their souls in exchange for revenge, and then ferry the guilty person down to hell.
Yeah, because there was, I think it was, like, the second episode where the grandma's like, do you not want to go? And she's like, no, I kind of have to.
I guess
I'll go and take this person's soul for fun. Why not? Also,
speaking of little Eeyore's, what she does in her fun time, every single time we see her, she's standing or she's in a white night robe, I guess, that's not the right thing for it, but it kind of looks like a nightgown.
Mm-hmm.
She's just laying in the river. Like, every single time she's called in.
Every time we see her, she's in that school uniform, too.
Yeah.
Okay, but I mean, like, every time we see her when she's getting called in.
Yep.
It's the exact same scene.
Right,
basically.
But it's like, she's just laying in the, like, what do you like to do in your free time? Well, I like to dress in a schoolgirl uniform. My favorite is, though, I like to dress in something white and clingy and lay in the river for hours on end, waiting to be summoned to do my evil, dirty work.
I honestly expected the detective to say, you know, from the second episode, I have the weirdest boner right now.
Oh, boy. Well, here, how can he say that if he never saw I with the white clinging,
He's a pedophile. He would imagine it.
We don't know that. He was freaked out of his mind. We don't know that. Well, maybe the last thought going through his mind was possibly pedophilia stuff, but who knows.
That's why it was the weirdest boner he's ever had.
Okay, you win.
Speaking of memes, we were talking a little bit before the podcast, we hit upon the idea, you know, how did they do this before the modern, like, DSL speed internet age?
And what did we come up with? One was, like, a Sears catalog from the 1800s.
Ma, the new catalog's here. Revenge section's looking mighty tempting.
My personal theory was that she doesn't need the internet. It's just ever since it was made, she got really, really lazy.
Also, I'd love to see the episode where all the revenge was meme-based. Douchebag baseball player, why you no confess?
Now I am forever alone. Nyan cat.
Yup. You are going to fly through space, turn into a Pop-Tart cat, and then fart rainbows. That is your hell for eternity.
That would actually be a pretty good hell for the vet, but...
This is true. It would be a good hell for him.
Well, that's what happens after all those cats absorb him into them.
It was cats and dogs. It was both.
Cats and dogs.
I'm sure there's a Nyan dog somewhere.
There's a,
There is.
Oh, God, there's a Fiesta dog.
Yeah.
Not
I've
kidding.
Seen Fiesta cat.
Not kidding. There's a Fiesta
There's
dog.
Every possible variation of that one you can find. I've even seen, like, heavy metal Nyan cat.
Mm-hmm.
But... So, okay, for those that we're mostly not talking about characters in this time, that's because, due to the episodic nature of the show, the recurring characters Like, we don't even get names for anyone.
We do get one. We have, the old guy. His name is Wadono.
See, I completely missed that.
Yeah, I don't know the names of the other two. Unless I research it right now. Which I do have.
Lady and whatever his name is.
We have Ren and...
Captain Smiley?
We have Ren and Ona. Those are the other two names. Wait,
her name is Woman?
Ona. O-N-N-A.
Okay, I guess the Japanese word for woman has one less N, doesn't it?
Well, her full name, the literal definition it looks like, is Bone Woman.
Okay, so I was right.
With the skeletons!
Yeah!
Yes.
Ta-da!
Because, see, Hellgirl has minions who are shape-shifting skeleton people.
Essentially, things. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's all we really know about them.
They kind of have personalities?
They kind of do.
Right.
One has breasts.
One has cleavage.
And that's how that's actually how I started recognizing her in her various disguises. She always shows the exact same amount of cleavage, pretty much.
Pretty much. I think the only time was that, like, suit kind of outfit, the suit skirt. I think that was the only time you don't exactly see any cleavage on her.
Yeah.
Fourth episode, when in her... And this is really weird, because you'd expect her to reuse her nurse outfit. She doesn't.
Oh, this is true, too.
Yeah.
I guess she decided that she's
going to class it up a little bit.
Huzzah. Well, the good news about these, I guess you can call minions, because I watched this when I watched the second season. Originally, when we watched it, there was actually some points where each of these minions had an episode where they would actually, like, get to interact more with the humans that are making the contracts, or I think one was actually dealing with, her past at one point. I think the Bone Woman. I'm gonna call her Bone Woman now. I think she was actually dealing with something from her past, maybe? Or something that relates to it? But you do get a little bit more in season two, as far as I know of. I don't know about the rest of the first season.
Right. I think my summary statement would be the characters who show up during who are non-recurring, so we're not going to go into them in a lot of detail.
Yeah.
They're pretty well realized.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you want the... Okay, they're very good at making it so that you want these bad people to go to hell. So there's, like, no ambiguity. Mm-hmm. With the vet, unless you don't really care about animals, then you might question that, but... I can't imagine there are people who would not care about animals that much.
At the very least, from a professional standpoint, dude is a terrible vet.
Yeah.
You could hate animals and still admit, this guy's terrible.
He's being paid for a service that he's not rendering.
Yeah. By the way, guess who voices the vet in the dub? Which is ironic.
Ooh, Michael Vick?
No. Vic Mignogna.
There is a Vic! Yay!
Yeah, there's a Vic. Yep, he actually does voice the vet. It's amusing. It really is.
I guess while we're on the topic of...
Segway!
Yeah, we're segwaying, but before we do, I just want to make one final comment. Yeah, that's pretty much all the character we have, because the other ones are victims or...
assholes.
People who deserve to go to hell.
Victims or assholes. Perfect summary. That's pretty much it.
Yep. And, like, while the recurring cast... Like, you get the impression they have personalities. Like, you wouldn't confuse them for each other.
Yeah.
We don't get a lot from them, because that isn't what the show is about.
Hellgirl herself, when most of your animation is arguably recycled.
Same.
Yeah.
And this is a good segue to point four. There's a lot of recycled animation.
And dialogue from her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would want to go through and listen to it again. To see if it was actually the exact same take every time, too.
No, not 100%, because the whole, her in the river thing, she's like either laying down or sitting or something. It's different each time, so it's not 100% recycled.
It's just
the sequence
very...
is, it's just the animation is not.
Yeah. The lines themselves, she has stock lines that may be recycled from episode to episode.
Right, because, like, when she is summoned for a mission, she's laying down in the river, sitting down the river, she gets out, gets dressed, gets into a flying chariot, and flies off. And that, even if the animation isn't recycled, that sequence is pretty much the same every time.
Yeah. And then there's the whole, here I am, you summon me, I am I, here is a doll, you can do this, and but this may happen, it's your choice. There's yeah. that bit, too.
You know right. what, I, on this is a brief little thing, and I should probably save it for final thoughts, but I don't care.
Say away.
What would happen if a family member of the guy who got taken to hell found out about the victim doing this,
oh,
and
geez.
They got a contract on them?
Oh, it's gonna go down, son.
Wait, did we even mention? Yeah, we mentioned it. Good. Okay. I was worried that we had completely forgotten the actual premise of the show. Like, summarize that.
I'll go more into this when we get to final thoughts, because it really ties into my entire feelings of the show itself.
Right.
But okay.
back to recycled visuals. Now, the visuals here are very good.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. This is top-notch animation.
Yeah.
Aside from possible reused footage.
But
which,
even then, it looks nice, and well, it doesn't make up a whole lot of the episode.
Well, heck, I mean, the fact that it took me 4 episodes to notice I was looking at the same ass every time. Because like every time she stood up from the lake, or river, or whatever that was, I thought to myself, I feel like Chris Hansen is going to bust in any second. Because that is way too clingy and transparent-y.
That makes me think of an anime we're going to have to review at some point.
Uh-oh.
Oh, God, why?
Dare I ask?
But...
I don't recall the name offhand, but it's about a bunch of, I think they're first or second graders, trying to hit on and or sleep with their teacher.
No, I know which one you're talking about. Vixen already reviewed it.
Hanamaru Kindergarten? Does that sound familiar?
Maybe.
Oh God, no, we are not doing that. No, oh, no.
Why is there more than one show that this could be?
Because
it's Japan.
Anyway, moving on. So the animation is very good. The art direction is good. Like the sequences where things get all basically in every episode, there's a bit where reality distorts for 5 to 10 minutes for the person having the contract put on them.
And it's unique depending upon the situation that's going on. Really, it's not the same thing.
Enduring torments, most of which rhyme.
It's kind of like an Ultraman episode where most of it's just building up to this final bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the art direction there is clever and creative. It goes on a bit too long for my tastes, but that's more for final thoughts. That's the art. The art is impeccable. I can't say anything bad about it. In fact, I would say that the art direction is the reason to watch this show. The art and the art direction.
Mm-hmm.
The voice acting, because we watched the dub, though, I did get to see some of the sub.
Yeah, I watched the Japanese, too.
Yeah.
I didn't. I just had the 4 episodes I was able to find.
Mind, I didn't watch the sub of the episodes we watched.
You still get a general idea of the 5 recurring characters, though. So.
Yeah, they sound... It's a pretty good dub, I think. They're similar.
Yeah. It's really, I think it's really close to the original Japanese. God, like I said before, Vic Mignon is the freaking vet, and I think I've only seen him in 2 other kind of villainous roles, which is like Le Chevalier d'Eon and Dream It or Marry, ironically. Then you have, God, who do you have? Brina Palencia as I, and I've seen a lot better from Brina Palencia, I'm not gonna lie. I've seen a lot better, but because of the character of I, it works. And then,
well, it's like, what do you have to work with there, really, as of episode 4?
Really. And then we have, God, who do we have? We have Arbruselia's Wadono, who's the old guy. And I liked him. He was pretty good. Though every time I heard him say, "Your grievance shall be avenged," my ears would kind of bleed because I had my headphones. And then, let's see, the other minion dude... there's Todd Habicorn, and then Jennifer Seaman, I think, is the name of the woman. And then,
wait a minute, there's a woman made of semen? Her name is Jennifer?
I
what is this?
No, her name is Jennifer Seaman, and she plays the bone woman, sir.
So the semen woman is a boner, you're saying?
Yeah, basically.
So she's a porn actress turned voice.
Which makes sense for all the cleavage and the disguises. It makes perfect sense.
It all ties together in a nice, neat, disgusting knot.
Little bow.
Would that be necrophilia?
Yes, yes, it would be, because...
That's an interesting...
I'm going to say yes to that.
Would explain the half-dead cheerleaders.
Yes, 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 it
would.
Well,
works. I have things to look forward to after this is done.
Huzzah!
Oh, God, I don't even want to know where you're going with this, but... opening and ending theme. I thought they were incredibly boring, and I skipped past them once I had given them a good faith listen through.
I honestly thought the lyrics of the opening kind of fit the situations, because it's like, there's the words, it's craziness, this uncertainty, kind of relates to life in general, so, you know, things happen, everything, like, can blow up in your face, and then the ending... considering a lot of times the somber tone that the episode ends on, it kind of adds to it a little bit. So
ends on?
I haven't heard the whole thing in forever, but,
No. I mean, what I was referring to is the episodes don't tend to end on somber moments. They tend to be made of somber moments.
This is true. But it kind of
gets depressed.
It kind of hits the most somber, though, at the end with the realization is like, oh, I can live my life, but I'm going to go to hell anyway. This is great.
At least I'll get to meet Hitler. Anyway, speaking of the words to the songs, I have one issue with the dub.
Uh-oh.
And that is that, and it isn't actually, not so much the dub. The dub is good.
Yeah.
As much as the localization, there were big parts of the episodes where, like in a few other episodes, where they would have Japanese text that you were obviously supposed to be able to read.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The version I was looking at provided no translation for that.
Same here.
Like a one episode, well, we saw the same version, I'm pretty sure, because I gave you the links. But an example. In episode 2, you have the girl who had just, like the night before, had put in the revenge thing on the website. And her plot was that she was being stalked by a police officer who had been calling her and texting her constantly. The thing is that she gets a text, and it's completely untranslated, but she reacts like, oh my god! The thing is that at first I thought, oh, she's getting a text from the people who are doing their revenge. She hadn't heard anything from them since then. But no, it turned out to be from the stalker. It's just that, you know, without the text being translated, either guess was good.
No, wait, were you talking about after she put in the revenge correspondence?
Yeah, she was in the car the next day.
Oh, when she's in the car the next day, it's the stalker, but that night when she put it in, it's
right.
The hell girl.
Right, I'm talking like what the next day when
okay.
She was in the car.
Okay.
I thought it was another hell girl text, like, your revenge starts soon or something like that, I don't know.
I wonder if her friends from the first episode got killed with her.
That's a good question.
She only got the one name.
This is
so
true.
You only get one.
Yeah. The problem is we never see those two friends after that. After they have that little moment where they're sucked into the wall. I'm not even kidding. They're sucked into the wall of the school.
Oh,
we never
I
see them.
That
after
was
that.
An illusion. I assume that was an illusion that wasn't actually happening.
That's a very good assumption too.
I have no idea if that actually happened or not, though. This does bring me to another thing. If you can get revenge on more than one person with one of these things, could you possibly get revenge on an entire nation?
Oh my god.
The nation of Africa mysteriously vanished.
Why do we pick
that
Africa?
The nation of Africa.
Because...
See, what I'm more imagining is Kim Jong-il sacrificing his soul to get rid of South Korea.
That's terrible.
That's who I'd expect.
Africa.
Or Hitler sacrificing his soul to get rid of the Jews, but that's really terrible too.
Right.
Mine
at least.
Wait, no. That couldn't happen because he would be rejected for lacking a soul.
This is true. If that were
we already have your soul.
We wouldn't have had World War II or concentration camps if that were the case.
Another thing that occurred to me was, how is it in this world that hated political figures still exist? Like, just an example, there are people out there who passionately hate George W. Bush, people out there who passionately hate Barack Obama, and would probably be willing to do that to get rid of them.
Oh god, probably.
It's like Death Note, but everyone has access to the Death Note.
Pretty much.
As long as they know that the website exists.
Yeah. Except with the Death Note, there's not as much consequences as the Hell correspondence, really. I mean, the Hell correspondence, you go to hell, for God's sake. Oh, yeah, no, wait. In Death Note, you do... Oh, okay, never mind.
In Death Note, as I recall, isn't your soul just, like, annihilated?
I think so. Something along those lines. I just remembered that. So, It kind of is the same result, really. It's just, yeah. The Hell correspondence is more of a public access to anyone.
public access insta-death.
Hooray!
This ties into my final thoughts.
Huzzah.
I am master of segues?
I guess so, sir.
Well, did we have anything else to discuss on point number 4?
Not really.
Not that I can think of.
Animation's really, really good, though there are moments where they reuse it, or at least recycle it, and it actually still works, especially given what kind of show it is.
See, the music's...
Given that it's a stealth magical girl show.
Yep.
Yes.
The music's rather interesting. It fits the tone and the mood. A lot of, like, child choir kind of thing, I guess?
Yeah.
Is what you call it?
Which is weird that, like, children singing is how we know that a show is creepy now, but...
Yeah. And then there's the dub where it has, like, Vic Menomina. I call him Vic Menomina for fun.
But deep doopy.
Menomina. Do-do-do-do.
Uranium bombs! Anyways.
Why are we on that again? Fun.
Whenever I think of singing, I go back to SpongeBob.
So, point number 5, your final thoughts, Burke.
I will go first this time, just to give our final guest a final thoughts that are final.
Aw, yay!
Yes, words that made sense. I had them. Honestly, the thing that annoys me about this show to begin with is that this show has a lot of potential. It is very formulaic. I am retarded at speaking.
Formulaic.
Yes. Thank you, Lilac.
Yo.
It is very formulaic. It is just... But shows like that, that are formulaic, that have such a fantastic thing, and I mean that in setting-wise, they're very easy to be able to screw up or to just mess around with and make something very interesting out of. Like, my earlier thought about what if someone got revenge on the person who got revenge? Or another one is, what if someone got revenge on the person who was going to get revenge on them? Would they both be taken to hell at the same time? Would that even go through? What are the limits to just all of this? How do you break this? How do you mold this? How do you do something different with this? The show, at least up until this point, does not do any of that. Instead, it just sort of wallows in its own mundaneness up until the supernatural invades and pretty much just tears apart whatever was going on. And that feels a little unbalanced in a few ways, though I guess that works for the horror element. One thing I think would be really interesting is you could technically take away Hell Girl. You could take her away and have their own little morality plays in and of themselves. It would just be a far more mundane solution. Someone gets revenge through some other means, or someone just gets a downfall because their misdeeds are discovered, or such and such, so and so. And in a few ways, it'd make things a little bit more tragic. Especially, say, in the first episode, girl does commit suicide, the other girl gets discovered, everything's laid out, all the horrible things have been discovered, but what can they do to her, and her victim's already committed suicide. And there's just a lot of things you could do with this. This show doesn't do enough, I think. It may just be because it's too early on, but from what I've heard, while I can confirm or disagree, and from what I've seen, later seasons stick to the formula pretty heavily. So, go ahead.
Yeah, they stick to the form for the most part, but they add I'm trying to remember. I know there was an episode where it kind of was like a double death, sort of. Like, someone got revenge, and then that person ended up getting, like, hit by a car and died or something like that. I'm not joking. And then there's the more little bits of character development from the minions, and there are more pieces later on in the series, though.
Oh, yeah, man. You know what would be hilarious? If someone tried to get revenge on someone, and the person they were getting revenge on, like, had a stress-based heart attack as they were pulling the string off of the voodoo doll activating the contract. Was that him going to hell? No, actually, when he wasn't making your life miserable, he was helping out school children on weekends.
Aww. Oh.
Sad. Have fun in hell, though.
Ta-da!
Though, the ultimate little thing that would really be game-breaking would be someone getting revenge on a Hell Girl. What would happen if you tried that?
Ooh, that's interesting. I don't know why anyone would want to, but that is interesting.
But all of that aside, all of that just add up, throw together, whatever. Chop it up, make a salad. This show is very... it's very overbearing in how crappy their lives are. And if you don't get into that, if you can't get into that, this is not going to be a show for you. But if you can, if you enjoy the kind of morality play aspect of it, then I would definitely say check it out, but do not marathon it. You will get sick of it pretty quickly.
Which I guess is a good segue to my thoughts. I'm the guy here who doesn't really like horror as much as these two. So, for me, marathoning this thing, I just got angry a lot. Because as much fun as I've had here talking about it, and thanks guys for making this really fun to talk about.
Yay!
You're not welcome.
But I just didn't really like this show at all, really. Really, really, really. I was just kind of miserable watching it because after the first two, it took all of my reviewer integrity to watch episodes 3 and 4 past the point where the contract was initiated. Because, not being a horror guy, I didn't really have a lot of use for the visuals of them being messed with. I was like, look, just cut this out. You're going to go to the same basic shot of them in hell, being riverboated on the River Styx style by Hell Girl, and some sort of ironic thing grabbing them. Just cut to the chase already. But that's just, I just like horror. I definitely agree with Burke that this is not a show to marathon. Or else you'll get sick of it. That's if you like horror to start with. Now, if you don't think you like horror, but you're still interested in trying this out, my advice would be, go to Wikipedia, look up a list of episode summaries, pick one that you think sounds promising, and see if you like that one. Because you can watch these in any order. And if you like that one, then go on ahead. If you don't, you've seen them all. Which is what, I think it was Spaceman Hardy on the Desodes forums said, when he saw that we were going to be reviewing this.
Every episode is extremely similar, and it takes it until apparently the second season for them to start mixing things up.
Yeah, I think he actually said that when I was planning on streaming it on my live stream. I think that's where it was. Like, once you've seen an episode, you've seen them all. Yeah.
And that's a very good summary. If you liked what you see in one episode, go ahead and give the other ones a watch. If you don't, Go watch Hero Man.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
I guess that means it's my turn?
Yes.
Okay.
Go for it.
Oh, let's see. Again, coming from a horror fan who didn't quite marathon it, I watched it today, but it was, like, on my way to work, in between my breaks, like, on my way back. I liked it, personally. Again, it's kind of different than most of the horror things I've seen. Like, and unfortunately, there's too many vampire shows nowadays, which I want to murder. But,
yeah.
That and zombies. But, it's different from anything I've seen as of late. The animation, I think, is really, really nice. The music fits the mood pretty well, the mood and tone, I think. The dub is lovely, aside from In My Eye, but that's mostly because I've heard Brina Palencia do much better roles. Story, very episodic. I usually rage episodic series that have no constant plot, but right now I'm okay because it doesn't have, like, a set plot that it doesn't try to follow with every time. It's just the same thing recycled. God, what else? Overall, again, it's not a series to marathon at all. I'd give it a try, see what happens. I know from experience, more things happen later on in the series, but, I wouldn't try marathoning it, because you are going to want to kill it after, like, two, three episodes, because you'll start noticing the repetition, and all of a sudden, nope, I'm done. But, I think it's a pretty good series, as far as I'm concerned. I know I want to try and watch more of it at some point.
If I'm ever, like, this is another one of those shows where if I'm bored and I don't have anything else to watch, or I just get the urge to watch it, yeah, I'll throw an episode on.
Yeah, for me, it's like if I don't have anything to review, which is very slim to none right now, it's like, I'm gonna do that. But unfortunately, I would have to marathon it if that was the case, and I would want to kill things.
Yeah, there are some shows where our only watch the first few episodes thing kind of bites us in the butt. This is not one of them.
Yeah.
In fact, it may have saved us from more hate.
Yeah. Because, like, while I was watching it, I hated the episodes 3 and 4. Just flat out hated, but...
I wasn't a fan of episode 3. That was the worst for me out of the 4.
Yeah.
See, I kind of liked the setup there, but it was just... It wasn't interesting.
It was too cartoonishly... No one is actually like that.
Yeah. I think bottom line with that one, the execution was terrible.
Yeah.
Bottom line. Like, at least, because I think I mentioned this before, well, like, early when I talked to the two of you, that, the other episodes, between the time they make the contract, well, not, they don't make the contract, they get the straw doll, and by the time they pull the string, there's at least a little smidgen in between that, where they're kind of either contemplating whether or not to pull the string, or, like, in the case of episode 4, they try to get proof on this person and expose them for who they are so they don't have to pull the string.
Yeah. Right, like they just want the ability to...
With episode 3, there's just a conversation, and then he decides, I'm gonna pull the string. Done. That made me mad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it could be a lot worse. I think we can all agree to that. But it's not really a whole lot of other shows like this. You're really going to have to try it out for yourself.
And that's a good note to end on. The show is what it is. You either like it or you don't. I don't think that I would ever watch it again. But it's not like there's anything objectively wrong about it. It's just, for me, it was like one of the worst experiences I've had reviewing things for this.
Aw, sad for you.
Oh, then I think that's just about everything. Lilac, get the hell out.
Aww.
I have nice. Words to have with Bobcat.
Aww, man.
Well, I'm glad you came.
Aw, yay, thank you.
Bobcat.
Well, anytime you want to come back, you're more than welcome.
No, you can't come back.
I would gladly love to come back sometime. It was a lot of fun. Thank you for having me.
Lilac, you might want to start running. Unless you want to be a witness.
Well, unfortunately, Burke, I don't have the shotgun sound effect on this computer.
Oh,
thanks
don't
to
worry.
Viruses.
We don't need the shotgun sound effect today, Bobcat.
I'm going to need some earplugs, aren't I?
Might want to get out. Okay. Hey, Bobcat.
All right, so next week, folks, we're going to be doing... We don't know what we're doing.
What's that about trying to replace me?
Good night, everyone. Bye.
Here's Buck!